Good morning. My name is Sam. I am the proud youth pastor of the Turkey Bowl champions, which our girls are in here right now. You guys can clap for them if you want to. Pastor Huey, he has one of these in his office, and I finally have one of my own. I'm super excited about it. I heard our guys got to the finals and apparently cramped out, and it's okay. In victory or in loss, I'm super, super proud of you guys. Good job. Eric, if you can take this. Thank you. Appreciate you, bro. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. We're so glad you're here. If this is your first time in a while, welcome back and welcome home. And speaking of home, this week I visited my family for Thanksgiving. It was the first time in maybe 4 or 5 years that I spent Thanksgiving with my family, usually because it's too expensive and it's not really worth the trip, but this year, my grandparents were actually visiting from Korea, and so it was worth it, and so I called my brother up, and I asked him to use his credit card, and he got me tickets. But earlier in the week, because I was so excited to see my family for Thanksgiving, I kept thinking to myself, I can't wait to be with family. I can't wait to rest, and I can't wait to go home. I was tired, and I missed my family. And it was divinely fitting that I went home before giving this message because we're starting a new sermon series on Advent. And today, I get to start us off with the Advent of hope. Advent, the word itself, means the coming or the arrival of a notable person or thing. And Advent for Christians is the first 4 Sundays before Christmas where Christians celebrate both the coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And on each of these 4 Sundays, we observe 4 separate gifts that we receive from the coming of Jesus. They are the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love. I'm going to read a quick intro blurb that was given to us for this sermon series. It says, "We live in a world marked by anxiety, division, and weariness, but Advent invites us to lift our eyes to the one who has come and who will come again. Jesus is our true hope in uncertainty, our lasting peace in turmoil, our deep and abiding joy in sorrow and suffering, and the unfailing love that holds us close and will never let us go. Each week until Christmas Sunday, we will reflect upon a different facet of his coming and rejoice that the gospel is not just a message, but a person, Jesus, who is God with us. The goal of this Advent series is to help us slow down, remember, repent, and rejoice in Jesus, and that our hearts will be renewed as we prepare room for Jesus, the Savior who brings healing light into every kind of darkness." And today, I get to talk about how the arrival of Christ gave and gives us hope. I mentioned that I was tired, I missed my family, and I kept thinking, I can't wait to be with family, I can't wait to rest, and I can't wait to go home. When I arrived there Wednesday night, 3 days flew by way too fast. And before I knew it, it was Friday night. It was my final night there with my family. And I remember I was just kind of laying on the guest bed, and I was just staring at the ceiling. And it hit me that the weight of loneliness and ministry was back, that tomorrow I was going to go back to the real world. And I couldn't help but think, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. I can't wait to rest, and I can't wait to go home. Even while I was home with my family, there was a deeper longing for me to go to our forever home, our eternal home. On All Church Sundays, our church does this amazing thing where from the youngest to the oldest, we gather and we worship God together. And our central youth students, they actually lead us in the reading of Scripture. And so if you guys will help me welcome up Audrey Kahn to the stage, please.
"And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Audrey. Good job. Some of you are thinking that it's a little strange that we're reading the passage on the Lord's Supper. I think a lot of people kind of questioned why I chose this passage when I did. But as soon as I started preparing for this message on hope, I actually knew that I was going to preach on this passage, that I was going to read this. There are two kind of aspects of this passage that I want to focus on today. One is what Jesus did, and two is what we will do when he returns. The first one is what he did for us. In less than a month, we are going to celebrate Christmas, which is the celebration of Jesus' first coming. It's when we celebrate Jesus' birthday. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is this, is that before the creation of the world, Jesus saw that we would fall into sin, but he knew what he would have to do. Even before Adam and Eve chose the tree, Jesus knew that he would also choose another tree. The first tree would curse us, and the second would redeem us. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died and he rose for your and for my sins. And since before time began and before the fall even, Jesus was looking forward to eating this meal. About a month or two ago, I preached a sermon. I don't remember what it was about, but I do remember mentioning that the cross was unbearable and that Jesus was not looking forward to the cross, that he was actually dreading the cross before him, that he knew that he was going to take on. But when it comes to this passage, when it comes to this meal, which is talking about the cross that he would have to bear, he actually says, "I have earnestly desired to have this meal with you before I suffer." And this is not a contradiction. It's that though the cross was unbearable, he knew that for us, his cross, his suffering will become our beacon of hope. That his suffering would become our hope. That though he dreaded the cross, he delighted in what it would mean for you and for me. That every time we eat of this bread and this cup, He tells us to remember, that's the word he uses, remember. Remember that we were all guilty of sin, that we were all going to hell, and that none of us were living in hope. But he came to give us an eternal reminder of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And the eternal reminder was actually this meal in front of us, the Lord's Supper or communion, what we do every All Church Sunday. And every time we eat it together, we are sitting with the disciples and Jesus at this table, and we remember the hope that we have. When life is hard, when we're tired of sin and its consequences, when we want to go home, we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, and we remember one day we will go home because of what he did. And secondly, what we will do, I called communion an eternal reminder earlier. Communion is not just something we're going to do once a month with our CCPC family. Jesus says this in verse 18. He says, "For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." We're actually going to have communion in heaven. I think some of us knew that, but I actually think a lot of us, we often forget this, especially while we're taking communion. Like while we're taking communion together once a month as CCPC family, as a church family, we don't think about how we're actually going to do this again one day with Jesus in eternity in heaven. In other words, communion does not just call us to remember what he did, but it calls us to look forward and remember what we will do. Let me put it like this. Personally, I've actually shed more tears from communion and the benediction than from any sermon I've ever heard or given. Benediction is a story for another time. But for communion, whenever I take communion, I think about how there's coming a day where I'm going to be able to do this with Jesus right in front of me. That I'll rest with him at his table and I'll finally be home. Right, we remember what he did for us on the cross, but again, like for those of us, you and me, who are tired, who are weary, who are broken, as we take of the bread and the cup, he tells us that we're going to do it again one day when he returns. And it gives me hope for that day. I actually learned recently even that for the first like 1,500 years of the church, the main part of our worship service was actually communion. They still preached and taught, but the early church fathers prioritized the taking of the bread and the wine, the cup. The word communion means fellowship and intimacy. So the early church fathers would prioritize communion with Jesus and the church. And this guy named Zwingli came along and he said, let's get rid of this and actually put the pulpit at the center of our worship service. And Zwingli, he did that because he was fighting against traditionalism from the Roman Catholic Church. And so it makes sense. But even John Calvin, whom we Reformed Christians, many of us are Reformed, we credit with Calvinism, we revere and we respect. Even Calvin did not want to remove communion from the center of our worship. He wanted to do it every week. And my point is not that we should do communion more, because the point is not how often we do it. My point is that maybe somewhere along the line that we as a church forgot the hope the communion was supposed to give. That along the way, the church started to find ways to, yes, encourage each other, which we should, but to hang in there instead of looking forward to the hope of his second coming. Instead of learning how to cling to that hope, cling to his return, and cling and believe in our eternal home. When Jesus came, he gave hope to a fallen world and a people. He provided a way. But also, when Jesus comes back, that hope is going to be fully realized and enjoyed. Meaning, all of the darkness and evil that surrounds us will be put to an end. For those of us who tremble at the face of injustice, what we see on the news, what we hear about overseas, like there's hope that one day that's going to end. All the pain and loss of your life will be replaced with his peace and his joy. Jesus promises that he's going to wipe away every tear, that death will be no more. And finally, all the lonely will be comforted by a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that's Jesus Christ. This is the hope that we have in Jesus. And that's why we celebrate his coming. So what? There are two takeaways that I want us to pull away from the advent of hope. One is to spend more time here on earth thinking about the hope we have in Jesus. My youth and the Central kids here, you guys spend the last quarter of the school year looking forward to summer break, right? It feels so far, but it feels so close at the same time. And it motivates you to keep going. Like you're looking forward to summer break, and that's what's motivating you to keep going. The Bridges Ministry, thank God whenever it's Friday because the weekend is finally here. And thinking about the weekend keeps us going. And our older members, they can't wait until retirement. What I've heard, and obviously I'm not there yet, but what I've heard is when retirement finally happens, people get bored And a lot of them actually go back to work because their entire life they were working for the time they're waiting for, and then it comes, and now they have to wait for something else. They have to find something to hope in. And my guess is often, at least in America, that's where we start to wait for and hope in the return of Jesus Christ. And so let's spend more time here on earth thinking about the hope we have in Jesus now, in every season of life you find yourself in. Secondly, prepare for his second coming. In the Gospels, Jesus talks a lot about waiting, but he talks about waiting faithfully. Right, waiting for our summer break, I'm talking about youth and central kids, without making plans ahead of time, usually what happens? It results in us spending our summer break in unmemorable ways, when you don't plan ahead of time. For the Bridges ministry, fun weekends are great and we should rest, but the Sunday scaries will always be there. Right, like my leaders always talk about, oh my gosh, I have major Sunday scaries when I gotta go work tomorrow, Monday, when we don't and the pastors are having fun or resting. And once we reach retirement, all of us are gonna search for something else to wait for. And so in every season of life, don't just wait, but live for and serve the King and his kingdom. Love the lost and the broken. Tell somebody about Jesus. Church family, let's not wait until retirement to begin to wait for Jesus. Look forward to his return now. Believe in the hope that we have and that's coming when he does. Preach it to yourself every day of your life as we wait for answered prayers, as we are in seasons of hurting, brokenness and loneliness, there is a hope that is promised to you and will come. And as we take communion today, remember the hope that you have in Jesus. He's coming back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the cross, for the burial, the death, the resurrection, and Lord, for the promise of your return. Would you help your people here have faith in and believe in the hope that comes with you? An eternal home, an eternal rest, all the pain washed away. We love you, we thank you. Lord, we wait for your return. And until then, Lord, we remember what you've done. And we trust in your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.